You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Okay, the scripture reading today is 1 Corinthians 4, verses 1 and 2. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Father God, we just want to ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. Lord Jesus, your precious holy name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning, this time of fellowship together that you've set aside for each of us. May we be cognizant in our mind and in our heart, Father, that this is appointed time by you, and may we give diligent attention to the matters at hand, the study of the mysteries, particularly the mysteries of the prison epistles that you've given to us as our mail. And we thank you, Father, for the calling that comes out of it, that reveals your purpose and your plan through your Son, that the body today is called to a blessing high above in the heavenlies, far above the kingdom hope, far above the promises of Abraham. And the uniqueness of that calling, Father, that pertains to us. May we, like the songwriter said, may we gladly bear any shame that comes because of that. May we be bold in our witness that we might honor him and his exalted position far above. And I pray, Father, that your Spirit take the things now of Christ and be the teacher to each of us as we study your word. And we pray this in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. All right, our second lesson on the mysteries. The mysteries, and you see, today's reading isn't in the prison epistles, even though our subject matter is the mysteries of the prison epistles. Well, it takes a little while to get there. We need to study some groundwork. We need to be attentive to the things that matter to us. But we can't be that unless we have spent some time looking at the things that we will encounter along the way. You know what I mean? If we are going to take a journey, let's say we're going to get in a boat and we're going to go over to England. Of course, nowadays we'd fly, and it's the same thing. It's just an airship versus a water ship. But if we were going to take a boat and we're going to go to England, wouldn't you like to know what kind of weather you're going to encounter? I bet you those pilgrims, when they got on that boat to come to America, they wish they'd known what the weather would be like. They might have just taken a day or two off before they left. Nevertheless, they were prepared. They were prepared. And we need to be prepared not only for the voyage, but for the things that we'll need when we get there. And these are some of the things we need when we'll get there. And I'll show you that in just a minute. We're not going to jump to that just yet. We're going to look at some of these mysteries, because look in verse 1. Paul here, writing to the believers at Corinth, says, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ. Is that enough? Is that well and good? Should we stop with that? Okay, I'm happy with that, just a minister of Christ. No, he doesn't stop there. He says, and what? Stewards of the mysteries of God. So it's not just being a minister of Christ. Now, how we handle those stewards, we see in verse 2. I mean, that ministry, or that stewardship, we see in verse 2. But let's first of all look at this word stewards. This is the idea that we get the word dispensations. The stewardship of God. Kind of an interesting word. Kind of causes a lot of people to go, oh, well, now, wait a minute, what are you talking about? Well, everybody knows what a dispenser is. Somebody who's given the obligation, responsibility to dispense and to do it properly and appropriately. There's a parable in Matthew chapter 9. God talks about a rich man who had a steward. And his steward, who was in charge of all of his things, was being accused of somebody of being unjust. He was a smart steward. You remember the parable? He went out and told the guy that owned 100, he said, you're only owed 10 now. And it goes on and on. And when he gets fired from his job, he's got a fine little feathered pillow when he gets out. He's got his little friends out there to take care of him. And He proved exactly what was he was accused of, and he was an unjust steward. God says that we are to be stewards of the mysteries of God. Dispensers. So it behooves us to know what these mysteries are. Not just the mystery, which you know we're so familiar with in Ephesians 3:9, but all the mysteries. Now why is that? Well, it's because sometimes when you're talking about the mystery, someone brings in Jew. Somebody brings in Israel. Somebody brings in Jerusalem. Somebody brings in children of Abraham and the promises of Abraham. And somebody brings in the kingdom. And none of them fit into this mystery. That's why we need to know about the other mysteries. We need to be able to explain to them. You can't do this by an organized campaign. Mysteries aren't understood that way. You can't do this by some popular appeal. Mysteries aren't done that way. Mysteries are secrets that God has yet to reveal in Scripture. And they're only revealed by the revelation of God. Those are two of the things that we learned about last week. Another thing we learned about last week, that many times a mystery comes in when Israel fails. And we looked at that last week, kind of bring our thinking together a little bit. We looked at Daniel, and we saw that Daniel had, the first time the word mysterion is used in the Septuagint appears in Daniel, and we found out that Daniel was given the interpretation of this mysterious dream that Nebuchadnezzar had. And in that dream, Nebuchadnezzar found out that he was the head of gold, that the Babylonian Empire was the head of gold. This was the time of the Gentiles. Paul talks about it in Romans. Jesus talked about it in Luke. The fullness of the Gentiles. And we see that a mystery comes in at the end of the faithfulness of Israel, or the failure of Israel to be faithful, when the two southern tribes are eradicated and taken into captivity. And thus commenced the time that Hosea talks about, Lo Ami. Israel lives without a king, Hosea says, without a prince, without an image, without an ephod, without a teraphim. All this time. For how long? Well, it's been a long time. Over 2,000 years. And they don't have it yet. They don't have it yet. The times of the Gentiles become in. Well, the second mystery we saw, the first use, and this is important because there is that biblical, theological term of the law of first use, the first time the word occurs, how important that is. The first time it occurs in the New Testament is Matthew 13 when Jesus is dealing with the mysteries of the kingdom. Turn there and look with me real quick because we do want to kind of remember these things that we've already learned. Matthew 13, verse 11, Jesus answered his disciples. He gets alone with them, and they say, how come you talk to everybody in parables? He says, well, it's been given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. It's been given. It's something that's given. And so, that was why I think last week I had a little complaint about mysteries, because you know sometimes we think of a mystery and we think, oh, it's a whodunit and we can solve it. No matter how much education, no matter how much knowledge, how much study a person has into the mysteries of God, there's no way they're going to learn it. There's no way they're going to know it. Because it's something that is revealed. It is revealed step by step as that person yields themselves to God and His Word. As Jesus said here, these mysteries are something that have been given for you to know. And what's amazing about it, not everybody knows it. Look at verse 17. For I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see these things which you see and haven't seen them. They longed to know who was Messiah. I mean, they knew a little bit about it because even when the wise men came, They knew that he would be born where? In Bethlehem. But they didn't know who he was, how it was going to be. That's just, there's so many of these things that the prophets and righteous men desired to see, but they didn't know them because God didn't reveal it to them. But here are some of the things that God says, I'm going to reveal unto you, who? These disciples that were close to him. I'm going to initiate you into understanding these secret things. And so he talks about the soil. He talks about the tares among the wheat. He talks about the mustard seed. He talks about the leaven in chapter 13. He talks about the pearl. He talks about the field. He talks about the dragnet. And he talks about the husband. He's got eight of these that he talks about. These mysteries of the kingdom of God. But you can't know it unless it's revealed to you. That's the amazing thing about it. So no matter how hard we put a campaign on, and no matter how hard we try to make it popular, that won't teach anybody about the mystery. No matter how hard they study it and how hard they try to get to know it, that won't teach it to them. Our responsibility when it comes time for someone who we're required to be responsible to, because it says in Ephesians 3:9, we're to make them see. Now, that doesn't mean you take a hammer and beat over their heads. That's that idea of, you know, it's that see is photismo. You know, little burst of light, little burst of light. Teach them a little. Teach them here. Teach them there. You're to help and to guide them when they desire to know and are ready to follow. But up until that point, you can't do it. You will never be able to do it. And you need to remember that. It's something that has been given. I don't think all the people in Ephesus understood it. I think that's why Paul, in his first prayer in Ephesus, in the letter to the Ephesians, he said, well, turn over there. Ephesians chapter 1. When he heard of their faithfulness, when he heard of their love towards one another, he said in verse 16, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give, underline that word if you don't have it underlined, may give unto you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the epignosa, the full acknowledgement of him. Recognition and acknowledgement are two different things, okay? You may see the red light go on, and you may recognize it, but you may not have a clue what it means. And until you have a clue what it means, you can't acknowledge what you need to acknowledge regarding it. It may mean that you're supposed to stop before you hit the intersection. Enter the intersection. It may mean you're supposed to pull over because you're going to get a ticket. You know? It may be a warning. It's hot. Don't touch. But there's a difference between recognition and acknowledgement. And that's what Paul is praying here for those Ephesian believers. I don't think it's something that was given to them because they were saved. I don't think it was something that was given to them because they were ministers of Christ. It's only going to be given to you that are saints and faithful to the calling God has given to you. It's not something that you can know. It's not something that you can learn on your own. That's my concern. It's a secret. There are some things God has kept to himself. As he has gone through time, he has kept some things to himself and he revealed them at the time that he wanted them to be revealed. There are some things that we still don't know about, even though the Word of God is complete. Yeah, go over to 2 Thessalonians. Let me show you a couple of these things that I just kind of pique your interest in. I don't think that we know fully yet, because that time has not arrived, the mystery of iniquity. In chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians, in verse 7. Remember not, I'm sorry, I'm in verse 5. Well, back up to verse 5. Start there. I like that. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now you know what restraint, that he might reveal in his time. See, there is a time of this revelation. What is it? The mystery of iniquity, which doth already work. I don't think we understand the fullness of it. I don't think we've seen, we can read about it in Revelation. In fact, let's turn over there, because there's another. Turn to Revelation chapter 3. There's another thing here. I don't think we know the fullness of it. I think it's still something that's a mystery. Something, it's a secret that God hasn't fully and completely revealed yet. In Revelation chapter chapter 2, in verse 18, we're dealing with the church at Thyatira. And to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine bronze, brass. I know thy works, and thy love, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou allowest that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants, to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. I gave her space to repent of her fornication, she repents not. Behold, I'll cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and who have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you no other burden. There are some depths of Satan we don't know or have any knowledge of. It's still a mystery. It's still something that God hasn't fully, because we haven't gotten to that point when it's time to reveal it and the time to understand it. There are things that God has yet to reveal in their fullness. These are mysteries. Okay. I said that. Come back to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. So, we've been given a responsibility to be stewards of these mysteries. Dispensers of these mysteries. We're to understand them. And it says in verse 2 that it is, moreover, it is. I mean, it is not just, okay, you gotta be on this. This, you know. You got to be on the game. This is what you're responsibility. Moreover, it is required in stewards, those that have this responsibility, that they be found faithful. They be found faithful. How important that is. And so the first thing we need to recognize is that mysteries is plural, and there are more than just the one that pertains to us, because I explained earlier that while we're dealing with this one, because that's our responsibility today, there'll be those who want to bring in the kingdom. And it's different than the kingdom. The church is different than the kingdom. You're mystery people. You're mystery people. You're not kingdom people. There is a difference. That's how important this is. Now, one of the first mysteries we probably ought to be aware of, so that we can help when someone is eager to know and they're ready to follow. One of the first mysteries we ought to be aware of is this mystery of the Gentiles, because that seems to be how they muddy it up. They overlap the different administrations of God. We learned about it in Romans. Turn back to Romans chapter 11. And here in at the end of the dispensational section of the teaching in Romans in verse 25, Paul talks about a mystery. He says, I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. What is he talking about? Well, he's talking about this grafted tree, this olive tree that has these wild olive branches grafted in. That's very confusing. It's, you know, what is that all about? And he says, I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles become in. Now, what was that blindness for? That blindness was to provoke them to jealousy. It doesn't reach its fruition until the end of Acts. When they have ears to hear with and they will not hear, eyes to see with, they will not see, their heart is grossed over and they will not understand. But the blindness begins in order to, well, it says there in verse 11, Romans 11:11. I say, have they, Israel, stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, that's Israel's fall, salvation is coming to the Gentiles to provoke them, Israel, to jealousy. That's this mystery that Paul's talking about. Gentiles were not a part of this. It was Abraham to whom the promises were given. It was Isaac and Jacob and the 12 tribes. And as we go through Acts, and we get almost all the way to the end, Paul says, when discussing for the hope of the resurrection and the promises made unto the 12 tribes of Israel, there are 12 tribes. Some people who think there's two tribes missing, and England's one, and United States is another, but we're not in Scripture. In fact, James even writes, James writes unto the 12 tribes scattered abroad. So, they were all there when James was writing. So, I don't know how the two got lost in these people's minds, but it was further on in Acts that Paul gets to Rome. And he wants to meet with these folks, but who's he call? He doesn't call these folks he's written this letter to, the believers in Rome. He calls the elders of Israel in Rome and meets with them in chapter 28. And he says at that time, he says, I am in these chains for the hope of Israel. That's this mystery. This mystery, which began really when Israel got set aside way back in the times of Nebuchadnezzar, in the times of Babylon, this huge image that's working out God's plan and purpose throughout all the ages. And so we have the Babylonian Empire, we have the Medo-Persian Empire, we have the Grecian Empire, then we have the Roman Empire. And after the Roman Empire, we have the Muhammads, and that came to a close about 1917. And the day of man persists. Israel is still lo ami. And that time came in Acts 28. Let's turn back over to Acts 28. Verse 28. Paul says, in verse 28, be it known therefore unto you, that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles and they will hear it. Now, we read a minute ago that salvation is sent unto the Gentiles. We read that, but that's a different aspect. This salvation is authorized by God to them to carry. And they take delivery of it. And for 2,000 years, not one bit of Christian effort has been promoted by the nation Israel. It's all by the Gentiles. What happened? Well, a couple of things. We see him here in verse, if you're still there in 28, chapter 28, back up to verse 23. Paul here goes to his lodging, and those Jews, the leaders of the Jewish nation in Rome, the elders of the Jews, arrive. And Paul begins, it says, to expound and testify about the church. No, about the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till night. Some believe these things which were spoken, some believe not. And when they agreed not among themselves, they were divorced. Well, you say it doesn't say divorce, but that is that word. It's departed. They were departed. God sent them away. He divorced them, just like the same word used when Joseph is talking about Mary, and he wants to set her aside. And Paul says, after one word was spoken, well spoke the Holy Spirit. I'm in verse 25. After Paul had spoken one word, well spoke the Holy Spirit, by Isaiah the prophet unto our father, saying, Go unto this people and say, Hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, seeing you shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people has become obtuse. Their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should deliver them, heal them. It's over. For now. At that point, it's over. God set them aside. Now, Acts didn't begin that way, did it? 40 days with the risen Savior, learning everything there was to learn about the kingdom of God. They had that one question, Will thou at this time restore the kingdom unto Israel? What would you say here? No. Not at this time. Because that wasn't Jesus' answer. What did he say? He's not given unto you to know what? The times and the seasons of the Father. Okay. All right. With that in mind, the next mystery we need to know is in Ephesians chapter 3. Now, it's not the first mystery that appears, but it's really in our effort to share with somebody about the mysteries of God and being a good steward of these mysteries. We need to know there is a distinction and a difference between the two mysteries that are mentioned in Ephesians chapter 3. And notice some of the distinctions. Let's begin with verse 1. Now for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Israel. No, the prisoner of Jesus Christ. He's no longer a prisoner for the hope of Israel. He's a prisoner for Jesus Christ. And it's no longer to the nation Israel. It's to you Gentiles. Very unique things right here. There's like three or four of them. There's Paul, the prisoner of Christ to you Gentiles. He's the minister of the Gentiles. He's a specific minister. It is to Gentiles. In verse 2, it concerns a dispensation. If you heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me, to Paul, to you. Can't help it. I got to mention it again. The to you, you need to remember, is two yous. Anybody remember the two yous? Okay. One is unique. So unique, you'll never find it in the Scriptures before. That's how unique it is, and it's unforeseen. It's not anything that someone could have searched the Scriptures and figured out. It's never mentioned in the Scriptures before. It's not the mystery of the Gentiles that we read about in Romans 11. It's not the mystery that was kept hushed up or secret since the world began in Romans 16. It's not the mystery of iniquity. It's not the mystery of Christ. Oh, that's right. It's not the mystery of Christ. That's where we're heading in verse 3. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote before in a few words, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. These are two separate and distinct secrets. One, unique and unforeseen. The other one, the mystery of Christ, bits and pieces had been kept hushed up and hidden and not revealed until the time. But the mystery of Christ goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. We need to be ready when somebody wants to know and somebody is ready to follow. Our job is to guide and to help them understand. This mystery of Christ, we read so much about it. We can see so much of it. You know, in Psalms chapter 8, go over to Psalms chapter 8, in verse 4. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Who's that? Thou made him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. All sheep, all oxen, yea, and the bird, beast of the field, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. He has put all things that pertain to things here below under his feet. In Matthew chapter 9, they brought to him a man of palsy. And he said to that man in palsy, in front of these leaders in Israel, he said, "My son, thy sins are forgiven." And they went, "Oh, you blaspheme." See, they didn't know that all these things had been put under his feet. He had control over all these things. He said, "You blaspheme." And he said, "What's it easier to say, thy sins be forgiven, or rise up and walk?" Kind of quiet. He knew what was in their heart. He said, "Rise up and walk." He rose up and walked. See, that is what we that one little glimpse. Go over to Paul talked about this in Corinthians. Go over to 1 Corinthians. This trying to understand what prophets and righteous men for years, hundreds of years, have tried to understand, Paul begins to reveal and make known in verse 15, in chapter 15. Let's start verse 25. He must reign till he hath what? Put all enemies under what? His feet. Hadn't happened yet. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it's manifest that he is accepted who did put all things under him. These are amazing comments, revealing and presenting to us the mystery of Christ. Paul talked about this over in Hebrews. Go over to Hebrews. Now, I'm just showing you that there's comparison of things here that we need to look at, we need to be aware of, we need to have knowledge of, so that when one comes along who doesn't want to be entertained, who doesn't want to be part of a huge campaign, or who doesn't want to be part of a popular movement, but truly wants to know what the Scriptures say, we're to be stewards of the mysteries of God. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 6, he goes back to Psalms 8 and he says, "But one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crowned him with glory and honor and did set him over the works of thy hand." Familiar? Paul brings to light now the revelation of what God has revealed to him concerning the mystery of Christ. And he says, verse 8, "Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now, we see not yet all things put under him." Fascinating stuff. What happened? Well, repentance was supposed to be part of the plan, and restoration would follow. And Israel rejected the kingdom and rejected the king. And God rejected them, even though he was, what's the word? Patient. Long-suffering. Man, was he long-suffering when it came to Israel. But we're to be stewards of the mysteries of God. We're to understand and know these things so that there's no confusion. And when we see someone mix these up, particularly someone that we know who is beginning to understand this, who is seeking more knowledge about it, we need to, like Priscilla and Aquila, brought Apollos aside to show him a more excellent or a better way. We need to sit down and do that. Now, from that point on, it's between them and God to understand it, to have that revelation part of their life. I think of the song, The Old Rugged Cross. And he does talk about gladly bearing the reproach of the old rugged cross. Do we gladly bear that reproach? And do we just stop there with being ministers of Christ and not stewards of the mysteries? Are we not? Do we not bear the reproach of the further knowledge, the revelation, the calling that God has given us today that has nothing to do with Abraham, has nothing to do with Isaac or Jacob, has nothing to do with Israel? And so when we see them talk about things that pertain to the Jew and the promises of Abraham and Israel and the kingdom, how do we deal with that? How conscientious are we? We feel like at times we ought to just stand up and challenge him and confront him and cause a Donnybrook. Big fight. No, that's not God's way. We refute the gainsayers. We stand up against those who mishandle the Word of God for gainsaying, for filthy lucre. We ought to have the boldness of a Joe Wilson and stand up and say, "You lie!" We ought to in those situations. That's. But in the other situations, we just gently and quietly bring them aside and talk to them, encourage them to come to a study, meet with them in a study, and spend time going over the Scriptures with them. We are to be stewards of the mysteries of God. Not just the mystery, but we're in order to understand the mystery, we're to understand all of them. We're to have a complete, full understanding so that we can understand the will of God. In Ephesians, we have six mysteries. And this is kind of the prison epistles. There are 10 in the prison and 2 in Timothy mentioning of mystery. 6 here in Ephesians. Go back over to Ephesians chapter 1. The first is in the first chapter. And it's interesting. Now, the first chapter, 1 through 14, beginning with chapter 1, verse 3. 3 through 14, there's 3 sentences. And each sentence deals with God. God the Father. And it's blessed be, verse 3. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is the will of the Father, it says. The will of the Father, verse 5, to have predestinated us unto the adoption of sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. That's a will I want to be in. You know? That's the will that God has. Now, that verse ends. I'm sorry. I'm looking over here. Chapter 7, or verse 7, picks up with the work of the Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, which He hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will. Now, that's the first time we run into a mystery. It's associated with the will of God to us. According to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the... And this is that mystery. Now, I'm going to tell you real quickly. There are 6 mysteries in Ephesians. There's 2 sets, and there's 3 in each set. And each set is complemented... Or the first set is complemented by the ones in the second set. In other words, the mystery of His will is complemented by this mystery right here. That's the fourth one. We've looked at the other two in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. So when we study the mystery of His will, we have to look at this fourth one, the first one in the second set, Ephesians 3:9, and what that means by complement, to further understand it. And that's what we'll do next week. But I want you to quickly look at this mystery of his will, verse 10, that in the, there's that word again, dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one the all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Unbelievable stuff. That's amazing. Once you stop and you think about what Paul just wrote, what God is talking about. Oh, it's just not, okay, we're all just going to be one. This the idea of a time, it's a season. There is a season in the plan of God where this takes place. And it is directly related and directly linked to you, mystery people. This is your mail. This was written to you, not just for you. And I'll re-whet your appetite. It is complemented with the mystery that was hidden in God that we have a responsibility to share with other people who are seeking, who are looking, who need help and guidance because they are ready to know. They want to know. They want to follow what God is talking about for them. They don't want to get brought into the inheritance because they've seen a difference. They don't want to be brought into an inheritance that belongs to another called out group of God's people. It's just marvelous because some of the things that we'll look at next week will, because it deals with the sovereignty of God in all of these matters. It deals with the glory of God in all of these matters. In fact, you ought to, as you read 3 through 14 in Ephesians 1 for next week, you ought to focus on the glory, the word glory, and the grace of God in this passage. It's incredible stuff. It's no longer are you going to be Corinthians who have to be fed milk. No longer are you going to be Hebrews who have to be fed milk because it's the meat that God really wants you to grasp. He wants you to get a handle on. That's what He wants you to enjoy. Now, I've got the breakdown, you know, the mystery, word mysteries. We talked about it, and I printed up a deal that Charles Welch wrote. There's 27 mentions of it in the New Testament. They're all listed, and that handout is on the back left pew. If you don't have one from last week when we handed it out, it's back there on the back left pew, and you can just grab one. I only have about five or six, so if you already have one, it's at home, and you just didn't bring it, don't take another one. You know, save it for someone who may not have been here and did not get it. Let's close with prayer. Father God, we do thank you for the uniqueness of our calling in the heavenlies above, the uniqueness that you have separated us out in time, in a time that was never known, unforeseen, could not be discovered, cannot in any way, shape, or form be studied in the Old Testament, or even in the Gospels, or even during the Acts period. But now, in the time that you have for your church, the body of your Son is now revealed for us to know and for our own faith obedience. May we be faithful to that. And this we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 7356. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.